word, she stood up slowly and then ran to the servants' entrance. A second later she re-emerged, holding the arms of two little girls. "Meet Brenna and Bonnie, Lady McTierney's daughters, and our clan's most pervasive eavesdroppers." Brenna squirmed, but Megan held fast.
"We didn't hear anything, did we, Bonnie?" she grumbled.
Bonnie shook her head.
"Only the part about Vari wanting to kiss Uncle Conan."
Brenna finally wriggled free and rushed to sit right beside Vari.
"We want to help. We like Uncle Conan, and it's his turn to fall in love. Mama won't help him, so that leaves us,"
she said proudly, pointing to herself and then her sister. Vari looked at Brenna and then at Bonnie, who had come to stand by her older sister. Their wide, innocent eyes looked at her with so much hope and unsuppressed excitement. Vari let her head flop onto her arms that were crossed on the table. She closed her eyes.
"Papa," she whispered, "you cannot get here soon enough."
Conan laid in bed, staring at the ceiling. Once again, sleep was evading him, but not for the usual reasons. He had always been attracted to pretty women. The few truly smart females he had encountered had been either married to the church or to one of his brothers. But even the prettiest of women had never created a physical need in him that kept him lying awake at night. But then never could he remember a woman defending him, and that was what Vari had done. "Maybe everyone else is just not comfortable with Conan," she had said. Did Vari really believe that? He had a feeling she did, for in the last few days he had come to know that she was almost as forthright as he was. Vari was not one to mince words to spare someone's feelings, and she was uncommonly open and honest about her own. She held nothing back and found it insulting when others did. That was probably why she had interpreted Connor and Laurel's fight as romantic. Very few saw their squabbles as a declaration of love. He always had, though, and when Vari had told Megan that a similar passion-filled relationship was the kind she desired as well, it had shaken him to his core. He could not stop thinking about it long enough to fall asleep. Simply put, the combination of characteristics and opinions that made up Vari Mayboyle was so unusual, so unique, he had not believed someone like her existed. It would have helped if she had been painful to look at, but Conan could stare at her for hours and then willingly stare at her some more. It was more than her physical beauty. Her voice soothed something in his soul. Its low pitch drew him in, versus the high-pitched sounds many females had, which grated on his nerves. And her scent! God, the woman smelt phenomenal! Every time he got even a whiff of her, his body became aroused. His only explanation was that it had been far too long since he had been with a woman. And yet he had no desire to entice someone in his bed. Just the thought of being with another female that way churned his stomach. The only tresses he wanted to touch were Vari's long dark locks. He wanted to stare into her pale green eyes and see the hazy look of desire come over them from his kiss. He wanted to press her body into his, knowing it would feel like none before her. Maybe, if he only physically desired her, he could have found another way to relieve his frustrations, but it was not only her body he craved. He yearned to talk with her, argue with her, ask her questions, and answer hers. He loved how Vari spoke her mind and offered opinions forthrightly and without hesitation. She understood his desire to leave the home he had always known and explore the world, and though she did not fully agree with him that all art should have value and have an impact on the world, she did understand and appreciate that what he wanted to do was of great importance and encouraged him to seek his dreams. No woman had ever done that, not even Laurel, and few men had ever appreciated why he wanted to explore for the rest of his life. But Vari had. She also longed for adventure, though of a different type. It enabled her to truly grasp why he was leaving in the spring, and how he was not going to let anyone stand in the way of his dreams, for she felt the same about hers. and that was why he had no choice. He was going to cut Vari out of his life. She was a distraction. So, much as he could, he would avoid seeing and talking to her until she left. Thank God her stay would not be long.
Chapter 4
"Vari, it looks like you'll be with us for more than a few weeks," Connor announced at dinner 3 weeks later. "I received word today from my brother Colin, who lives in the Lowlands. He asked those nearby about your father, and it seems many know him, and he is well-liked. Unfortunately, Colin also learned that your father has already left for Spain and is not expected back in Scotland until early spring. Even if somehow your message did reach him, and he immediately returned, winter would have set in, making it impossible for him to travel north except by foot or horse." Vari shook her head. "Papa would never leave his wagon behind. It's his life. It holds everything he owns." "And nor should he," Laurel added, and reached over to give Vari's hand a squeeze. "We love having you here with us. Our children adore you, and you and Megan are becoming good friends. Please say this is not completely unwelcome news. I am sorry that Papa could not come sooner, but I would be dishonest if I said that I was not enjoying being here." In truth, Vari had initially worried about staying in a castle where she knew no one, but after just a few short weeks, she doubted there was a better place in the world to spend a winter. "Thank you very much for the invitation. I know my presence was unexpected, and I promise to leave as soon as Papa arrives in the spring."
"Everyone is leaving in the spring," Brenna pouted. "No one will be left. Why can't we go too?"
Megan leaned over and tickled her until she squealed. "I will still be here, as will Seamus, Eileen, Gideon, and all your friends. Besides, spring is a long way off. Before then there will be Christmastide and all the holiday festivities."
"I didn't think of that," Brenna exclaimed. "Wait until you experience Twelfth Night at our castle, Vari. It is the best."
Vari returned the little girl's infectious smile. "Sounds exciting. We moved around so much when I was young, I never really got to participate in big feasts and celebrations. This will be a first for me." "You've never experienced Christmastide and all the feasts that come after?" Laurel asked in astonishment. "Why, I will have to ensure this is the best Epiphany celebration ever had at McTierney Castle. Tomorrow I'll send word to Rayland and Mariel that we will be hosting this year, and a Shar Hael. It's almost December. We might have to start planning tonight, Eileen," she said to her friend, who bobbed her head in agreement.
"You are not going to start planning anything tonight or tomorrow, or even this week," Connor grumbled. "Christmastide is more than a month from now, and Fallon has other things to think about in prepping for winter."
"Fine, fine," Laurel said in mock agreement. "For the next couple of weeks, whatever planning we do will not affect you or our busy steward. Nor will I subject you to listening to me ramble about it. But I will begin preparations, so it would be best to accept that now." Connor brushed his hand over his face, knowing that arguing would be pointless.
"Are you settled in enough for an extended stay?" he asked, turning his attention back to Vari.
Vari loved her chambers, and knew that staying in the large space until her father was able to come and get her was not going to be an issue. The room was open and had plenty of light, nothing like the dark, confining cottage she had been living in for years. The only issue regarding a long-term stay was her books. Despite what Conan thought, she did read them, and was actively studying some of the journals her sister had somehow gotten her hands on the past year. Vari wanted them accessible, not locked away in heavy trunks. Mentioning her need, however, was not an option, for she knew what the answer would be. Put them in Conan's room, which was littered with shelves specifically made for such items. Or even worse, Connor would ask Conan to build shelves for her room. Neither solution was acceptable. Anything involving Conan was completely and in all ways intolerable. The last couple of weeks the man had made it abundantly clear he wanted nothing to do with her, and Vari was not going to do anything that forced him even to look in her direction. He had been ignoring her since the morning after they arrived. At first she had thought she was imagining things, but then Branna had let it escape that she had overheard him talking with Seamus. She had been right. Conan had been intentionally avoiding situations, places, even meals, just to keep from being in her company. It hurt to learn she had been so wrong about him. She had thought that their budding relationship special, and that she was one of the few women who had been able to break through his brusque demeanor to see the man beneath. She had been a fool. Thankfully, she had never shared her mistaken beliefs with anyone, and had been able to convincingly act as if Conan's disregard were not at all troubling. Instead, Vari had decided that indifference was an excellent idea, and pointedly began to ignore him as well. Most mealtimes Conan was elsewhere, but on nights when they ate in the lower hall with the soldiers on castle duty, or on nights like this one, when Laurel invited her close friends, Conan was forced to join. And each time Vari acted as if he were not there. She carried on conversations, laughed and smiled with those who sat on either side of him, but not to Conan himself. She never glanced his way, not once, which is probably why it had been so noticeable. But rather than being upset by their silent feud, Laurel had verbally applauded Vari's strength of character. She had said that only a few women could see beyond Conan's charm and dimples to the self-serving man underneath without getting hurt first. Vari had felt like a fraud. She was no different from those other women. Worse, she was jealous of them. At least they had gotten to experience what it was like to kiss Conan before mutual disregard took place.
"I think Vari needs shelves, Papa, for her books."
Vari's brows shot up, and she stared at Bonnie, who was sitting across from her. Laurel looked at her daughter, and then Vari.
"I never thought about that. You are right, Bonnie. Vari must have a place to put her things if she is going to be here for several months." "And," Bonnie added, this time with a sly, knowing smile, "Uncle Conan is the best one to make them, since he was the one who made the shelves in his room."
Connor waved his fork at his daughter.
"Great idea, Bon Bon. What do you think, Vari? Do you need shelves?"
Vari gave Bonnie a strong look, but the little girl refused to feel shame. Instead, Bonnie winked back, leaving no doubt that she had intentionally created a situation that would force Vari and Conan to interact. Bonnie's older twin siblings could be very amusing, and Brenna was indeed a consummate eavesdropper. But more and more, Vari was seeing that Bonnie was the most astute of the two, despite being the youngest. Her ability to perceive the truth behind a look or an action was astounding, a skill that would only grow more accurate with age, and she watched anything or anyone associated with Conan. Vari had little doubt that her and Conan's obvious efforts to ignore each other had led Bonnie to believe that there was something far more than disinterest fueling their odd behavior. It certainly did not help that Bonnie had overheard Vari admit to wanting to kiss her uncle, and despite her best efforts, Vari had not convinced Brenna or Bonnie that she had only been teasing. Vari turned to Conan and was surprised to find him not just looking directly at her, but smiling. Not his normal charming smile that he used to woo women, but a smug one. His blue eyes twinkled as if he knew that Vari would never accept. A slow smile curved Vari's soft mouth. Conan's twinkle faded and was replaced with discomfort. She raised a single brow and debated about accepting his challenge. Conan held her gaze until she turned to Connor and said, "Thank you for the offer, and I think I will accept." "But you are right, Bonnie," she said, glancing back to the grinning 7-year-old. "There is no one better to build my shelves than your uncle, especially as I will be very particular about their strength, size, and placement." Bonnie elbowed Brenna, whispering loudly enough for the whole table to hear.
"See, I told you it would work."
Brenna then leaned over and cupped her hand over Bonnie's ear.
"Not yet, but it will."
"Which one are you looking at now?" Vari asked Brenna, who was lying across her bed, flipping through one of her bound books.
"A really interesting one," the 10-year-old replied. "Bonnie never said these things had pictures. I always thought they were just full of boring words."
That captured Mari's attention, and she put down the newest gown Megan had left for her so that she could see exactly what Brenner had picked up. Medical texts had been around for more than 1,000 years. Most described plants and their healing qualities, but she had a couple of books that went far beyond herbs. Vari plucked the book out of Brenner's grasp, ignoring her squeal of protest. It was what she had feared. The Compendium Medicinae by Gilbertus Anglicus. It had been written by an English physician, who had documented a great deal on the practice of medicine, including surgery, with some eye-catching illustrations. She knew because it had caught her eye as a 13-year-old. If her father had known exactly what she had convinced him to get for her, he would have exploded. Just as Connor would do if he discovered Vari had allowed his daughter to stare at drawings of naked men, even if most were just of their bones or muscles.
"I think not." "Mama says books expand your mind," Brenner said, as she blinked her eyes innocently, but not convincingly.
"Aye, they do, but yours does not need to be expanded in that direction."
Vari pointed to some of her favorite manuscripts that contained poems. "Try those." Brenner shook her head and wrinkled her nose.
"Those have no pictures."
"If you want pictures, you should draw some."
Brenner scoffed and flipped over to her back.
"Mine wouldn't be nearly so interesting."
Before Vari could respond, there was a knock on her bedroom door. She called out for the person to enter, and Megan peeked in, wearing a large smile. She came in, closed the door, and leaned against it.
"Oh, good, you are looking at the dress. It is too long for me, and gold is not my colour, but it is so pretty, and when Laurel said she prefers her other gold gowns to this one, I just couldn't let it sit in a dusty trunk, never being appreciated. With your dark hair and green eyes, it would look ravishing on you. More importantly, I happen to know a certain soldier who would definitely appreciate it."
Brenner abruptly sat up.
"Who?"
Megan blinked and scanned the room.
"Where is Bonnie?"
Brenner shrugged.
"Where else? With Uncle Conan."
"And why aren't you spying on them?" Megan asked suspiciously as she went over and poured some water in a mug. Brenner fell back onto the bed with a bounce.
"Bonnie will tell me anything interesting later, and Vari needs me."
Vari swiveled her head and narrowed her gaze. Brenner's tone was too playful to be ignored. When Conan had warned Vari about Laurel and her meddlesome matchmaking habits, he had forgotten to mention that her daughters were not only like her, but worse.
"And how is it that I need you?"
"I've known Uncle Conan longer than you, so I can help you figure out what you can do to thank him for the shelves."
Megan sputtered, and she began to cough. Vari came over to thump her back. When Megan caught her breath again, she muttered,
"Sorry about that. I thought for a moment Brenner said something about thanking Conan."
Brenner looked over and nodded, her expression an earnest one. Megan turned to Vari.
"You aren't, are you? I mean, that is just begging for... well, I don't know what, but it's begging for it all the same."
Vari bit her bottom lip.
I probably should thank him."
Then upon seeing Brenner sit up with an enthusiastic gleam in her eye, she hastily added, "But to do something to show my appreciation, I mean, I have no idea what that could be."
Megan threw up her hands. "Don't look at me. I've never heard of anyone thanking Conan for anything before." "That's probably because I've never heard of him doing anything for anyone before that was not because of some family obligation. Even then he complains."
"That's why you will need to thank him," Brenner said with a large smile. "And Bonnie and I can help you figure out how."
Megan arched her brows and collapsed into one of the hearth chairs. "Beware, you are about to be manipulated." Vari pursed her lips and then let go a large sigh. "Without a doubt, and yet Brenner does have a point. Maybe I can give him something to show my appreciation." Brenner nodded, bouncing on her knees.
"Your paper. Uncle Conan needs a bunch for his maps when he leaves this spring, and you have plenty."
"I do not have plenty.
Vari reputed, although to some it might look like it. She did have several books of blank hemp pages, but there was a reason she had them after so many years. She rationed their use. It might look like a lot, Brenner, but my father bought that paper for me some time ago. The only reason I have any left now is that I have been very careful to make it last.
Oh, Brenner said, disappointed, for she knew how much her uncle would have really liked having some hemp.
She had heard him telling Seamus about it.
How long have you had those books?
2 years, Vari quickly answered, glad the young girl seemed to understand how hard it had been to make them last this long. But suddenly Brenner jumped to her feet, excited once anew.
"I thought you said your father was going to be here in the spring."
"He is," Vari confirmed apprehensively. Brenner began to pace.
"And he is coming from Spain, and that is where Uncle Conan said the hemp paper was made. So, if all this," she said with great exaggeration, waving her hand at the three large chests, all of which were open, "lasted 2 years, then you must have enough to share some, especially if you are going to get more in a few months."
Megan stood up and went over to grab the dizzying Brenner by the shoulders. Using her most authoritarian tone, she asked, "Did Conan tell you to ask for Vari's paper, or even hint?" Brenner looked disgusted and pulled free.
"If Uncle Conan told me to do that, then how would it be a surprise when Vari gives him the paper?"
Megan turned around and looked at Vari. She shrugged and went to sit back down.
"Well then, what should Vari give Seamus? He is also going to help build them, so shouldn't he get something?"
Brenner giggled.
"The only thing he wants is..."
She wiggled her finger in Megan's direction. "We are just good friends."
"Then you must be really good friends from the amount of time you spend together,"
Brenner chortled and fell back on the bed once again. Megan raised her chin defensively.
"We are. We have a lot in common, including your Uncle Clyde, who I love very much. And guess who else we have in common?"
Megan quickly asked Vari, hoping to change the direction of the conversation. "Lumen," she answered, and unsuccessfully bit back a smile.
"He's the reason I came to see you. Seamus says that he introduced you to him, and that Lumen has spoken about little else since."
Vari bit the inside of her lip. Lumen had light-coloured hair and brown eyes, and like all McTNA elite soldiers, he was incredibly well-built. And unlike some of the soldiers, who chose to wear the same austere face as their commander, Finn, Lumen was good-humoured and easy to talk to.
"He did? What did he say?"
Behind her, Brenner gave a soft snort and scooted off the bed. She crossed her arms, and her eyes flickered between Megan and Vari. Something was suddenly bothering her, and she was doing nothing to hide the fact.
"Is something wrong?" Vari finally asked.
Brenner stood staring for several seconds before she shook her head.
"I need to find Bonnie,"
she announced, then left without further explanation. Vari's jaw dropped.
"What did I do?"
"Who knows?" Megan replied, completely unconcerned at the sudden change in the youth's attitude. "But I've seen that look enough to know that whatever it is, you are part of her plans, so be careful."
Vari swallowed.
She wanted to ignore the warning, and told herself that Brenner was only 10 years old, a child. But another inner voice reminded her that Brenner was no ordinary little girl. Vari suspected the havoc Brenner could create was more than most could imagine. Vari lifted her hand, curled her fingers in preparation to knock, and then paused for the second time. Did she really want to do this? See Conan? Offer him some paper in a show of thanks for making her some shelves? The answer was both yes and no. She did want to thank him, and offering him some sheets of hemp paper was not really a hardship on her, and would be greatly appreciated by him. She knew that. But it was the fact that she wanted to see him and talk to him, and was actually excited about having a reason to do so, that made Vari think this was not such a good idea.
"Mushed. Either knock on the damn door and come in or leave. The sound of heavy breathing is not endearing me to be agreeable to whatever brings you here. The curt order came from the other side of the door. For a second, Mari was mortified, but the feeling was quickly displaced with irritation. She knew she had not been breathing loud enough for him to hear. He must have heard her approach. Without waiting for an invitation, she opened the door. Rumors have it that you happen to like a woman when she is breathing heavily. Conan's head jerked up as he jumped to his feet. His blue eyes were large as saucers, and suddenly Vari felt a lot better. He had known that somebody had been outside his door, but not that it had been her. Conan's shocked expression quickly morphed into an improper one.
I do like it, but in my ear.
Vari chuckled, not insulted in the least.
Who did you think I was?
Seamus, Conan readily answered. The man is a menace. Vari knew he was not serious. From what she had seen since her arrival, Seamus was one of the few Conan tolerated. Even more of a miracle, Seamus seemed indifferent to Conan's surly attitude. Since Conan had not yelled for her to get out, Vari took another tentative step, followed by another. She was eager to see what Conan's chambers looked like. Her head swiveled around, her soft green eyes growing larger the more she saw. Vari had assumed that the area would be something like hers, large, with most of the space dedicated as bedchambers, perhaps an area for reading, and another a cluttered section full of books, manuscripts, and whatnot. She could not have been more wrong. First, the room was enormous. Unlike other rooms on the lower floors of the North Tower, or even those in the Warden's Tower she was in, Conan's chamber took up the entire floor. It was separated into three areas, and they were not partitioned off by walls, but by functionality. Unlike her room, it was not the library portion that was a mess, but the section that functioned as his bedchambers. The rushes were in dire need of replacement. The woodpile next to the hearth, which looked in desperate need of cleaning, had toppled over. His rumpled bed was large, but did not seem so in such a spacious area. Next to it was a massive, dark, ornately carved chest, with what looked to be a mixture of both clean and dirty clothes draped over it. Vari looked at him, pointed to the chest, and was surprised to see Conan actually looking a little sheepish.
"Chambermaids," he said with a sigh. "They clean, but they also disrupt. I find the latter more of an issue than wrinkled blankets and sheets."
Vari flashed a coquettish smile.
"My guess is that chambermaids only venture here when Laurel forces them, and even then you hound their every move."
Conan grinned back, a perfect male smirk.
"Lucky guess."
Vari laughed.
"You mean accurate guess."
She started toward the library section of the room. It was rare that Conan let anyone near his collection of written work. He sometimes allowed Bonnie, but only when he was there with her. So that he was letting Vari do so, he really could not explain. But the closer she got, the more her face grew in awe, and knowing that she appreciated what she was seeing made him eager for her to continue. Unlike his bedroom area, the rest of Conan's room was very orderly and very crowded.
"I should have come up here much sooner," Vari whispered, her eyes darting everywhere. "Then I never would have any reason to doubt your assurances that you have no interest in my things. You barely have room for what you have."
Then she pointed to one of the romance books that he had teased her for owning.
"And you seem to have your own version already."
Conan nodded and sank back down on the stool he had nearly toppled over upon hearing her voice.
"People assume I like any type of manuscript or written word, and while that might have been true at one time, I have had to become a lot more selective in what I keep."
Vari ran her fingers lightly over the wood shelves. They were not simple slats of wood that had been wedged and nailed together, but they had the look and feel of those that would be found in the large abbeys. Four rows of wide-open shelves enabled one to access books from either side. Along the far wall, between the two large windows that let in a surprising amount of light, were multiple shelves, specifically built to store scrolls so they could be accessible and yet not rolling about. The whole place was crowded,
and yet there was an innate sense of organization to it. Vari was impressed.
Your room reminds me of a library I once saw when I was young and traveling with my father.
Remember which one?
She nodded, still looking, caressing the etchings as she went.
It was one at the Cambus Kenneth Abbey. Have you heard of it?
Conan's jaw twitched. While his room was nothing remotely close to as impressive as the Abbey, he had modelled his shelving and his room's layout based on his visit to Cambus Kenneth. Even Eleanor, who had taught him languages, had not recognised the beauty he had tried to incorporate into his chambers. Vari had. It once again stirred something in him, heating his already hot blood. He had spent the past month trying to dismiss Vari from his thoughts. It had been a losing battle, as odd tidbits of information about her were relayed to him by Seamus, Bonnie, and too often Connor. Her recognizing the library he had patterned his own after was going to be one more thing that would haunt him tonight when he tried to sleep. Vari scared him. He had never physically craved a woman like he did her. He had wanted women, sometimes enough to chase them a bit, but never had desire interfered with his ability to concentrate during the day. And what he felt for Vari was not mere desire, but something far stronger and far more painful. The moment she had opened the door, the scent of wild flowers had filled the room and turned his insides out. Like she did on most days, Vari had twisted the sides of her hair into loose braids, leaving the rest of her dark tresses to flow down her back. This morning had been windy, causing several strands to become free and frame her face in a way that begged a man to reach out and know their softness. He was not a man who normally paid attention to what a woman wore, but Vari made that impossible. Megan and Laurel had been giving her their used clothes, but he did not remember ever seeing either of them in the gowns. Vari was slender, but not wafer-thin like Megan, which must make a large difference, because no man could forget the way Vari was filling out the lavender dress she was currently wearing. Physically, Vari was his dream woman. That was daunting in itself, but what really scared Conan was much greater than that. Vari understood him. Every time they spoke, she confirmed it in another unexpected way. And today only compounded his fears. Vari had entered his sanctuary, had seen his untidy bed, and while she commented on it, she did not chide him or tell him to get it cleaned. She had done something far worse. She had accepted him. Conan had more than simply believed there was not a woman for him. He had known it. His personality did not mind being alone. He had never craved his other half, like his older brothers had. For him to love a woman like they did their wives would end all his dreams, and eventually it would eat at him until there was nothing left of him or his love. Then he had met Vari. If he was ever going to fall for a woman, it would be her. He was not going to, of course, not just for his sake, but for hers. Vari wanted nothing of love either. Home, children, roots, these were things she did not want almost as much as he did not want them. And while they both longed to see the world, their plans and ways for doing so could not be more different. The life of a travelling merchant was that of constant change, but that change was predictable, consistent, expected. He, on the other hand, was venturing into the unknown, where conditions would oftentimes be harsh and uncomfortable. He had known this all after just a couple of days in her company. So he had made a plan. It was a simple one. Ignore Vari. Act as much as possible as if she did not exist until her father came to get her. But that had been when he had thought her father would arrive in a few weeks, not months. After weeks of trying to ignore her, and the maddening effect of her pretending to ignore him, Conan knew that his simple but tormenting plan would not be viable much longer, certainly not until spring. Conan shifted uncomfortably in his chair. Maybe he just needed to get her out of his system. His brothers may think he had been with a lot of women, but it was not really true. Conan had kissed a lot of women,
but when he needed a physical release, he was far more selective. It was rare he ventured outside of those for whom he knew there would be no unexpected claims or children. Laurel would undoubtedly kill him if he pursued Vari to his bed, but what harm would there be in a kiss? He had the benefit of Vari being already interested in him. Normally her notice would be enough to dampen his desires. Overly eager women were never attractive. However, Vari's interest was less eager and more curious, which was not unappealing. He smiled at the realization. Perhaps the secret to getting Vari out of his system really was to kiss her. A few poorly executed kisses would definitely solve his problem. Conan wiggled his brows and pasted on his most charming smile. After a few minutes of sitting there, grinning like a fool, his frustration got to him and he began to scowl. Not once had she even glanced his way. With a sigh, he crossed his arms and leaned back. "Let me guess. You are here about the shelves?" Vari nodded, still keeping her focus on the various volumes Conan owned. Never had she seen a private library so extensive. She had never even heard of one. "What are you going to do with all your things when you leave? You cannot possibly bring all this with you." Conan coughed at the thought. "Ah, no. I don't really plan on taking hardly any of it. Some maps, of course, and as much blank vellum as I can carry, but the rest will stay here, in this room, just like it is. Bonnie, I'm sure you have come to realize, is very bright." "She's brilliant," Vari corrected, her eyes still reading the spines. "I suspect she is smarter than either you or I, and putting humility aside, I don't say that lightly." Conan's brows arched. He thought similarly. Like him, Bonnie was quick to learn languages. Though she was only 7, her mother had already started teaching her how to read both English and Gaelic, and he had focused on making sure she understood the basics of Latin. Her Aunt Eleanor could instruct her on Italian and French after he left, whenever she was ready, and he knew some day Bonnie would not only learn to read these other languages, but speak them, mastering them in a way he had never been able to. But Bonnie was not only an academic. She had a natural instinct when it came to people. Her sister Brenna had it as well, only it manifested itself differently. Bonnie was not as obvious with her understanding, which made her in a way more dangerous. A good example had been last night, and the mention of Vari needing somewhere to put her own manuscripts and books. He still suspected there was far more to Bonnie's suggestion than just kindness. "The shelves," Conan put forth again. Vari turned to look at him this time. "Oh, the shelves," she stuttered, having forgotten why she had come to visit. "I first wanted to thank you. I know that Conor put you in an awkward position."
"Conor didn't. I believe we can blame Bonbon for that. She and Brenna have unusual influence over their father."
Vari clicked her tongue. "Over everyone. I'm coming to realize that more and more," she said softly, without expanding on what she meant. "But I do need them. The shelves, I mean. Nothing fancy like you have. Anything solid would work. And while probably a carpenter could do it..."
"You want someone who understands what it will be used for."
Vari nodded, her green eyes looking relieved. "I don't have nearly as much as you, but it still, well, is a lot. You saw the bags and the crates, but all 3 of the large chests are also full of bound books." Conan leaned forward in shock.
"All 3 of the large chests?"
Vari nodded.
"What about that small chest?"
"That contained my personal things. I know it seems like I have more, but I could not imagine travelling with the number of dresses Megan has loaned me. I would need a cart just for clothes alone."
Conan had thought the small chest probably had some of the more precious manuscripts that she had wanted to ensure would not be harmed during their journey. But instead, that was what held all her female garb and stuff. It was difficult to fathom. Every time Crevan's wife, Rayland, had shown up at McTierney Castle for an extended stay, she had brought mountains of frilly things with her. Craig's wife, Mariel, was not much better. Conan rocked back,
thinking about the amount of work the project was going to take, which was much bigger than one small bookcase with two or three shelves. Thank goodness the room Laurel had put her in had the space. Bookshelves the size Bari needed would not fit in one of his brother's old rooms here in the North Tower. I know the amount of work is significant, and Connor did not know what he was asking of you. Conan's lips twitched. She was right about that. And if you no longer want to help, I'll understand, and work with a carpenter. But if you were willing to build them, maybe I could offer you something in return for your help. Conan's brows shot up. Something she could offer him. It was as if the good Lord actually wanted him to kiss her.
I can think of something, Conan said huskily.
The change in his voice was unmistakable. Bari scrunched her brows in confusion. You think I mean to... that I was offering to... kiss you? Conan ran his tongue on the inside of his cheek and took in a deep breath. Bari was acting as if she were not interested in him, when he knew that was not the case.
Why not? He posed. I know you have longed for a kiss, and I can think of no better way to show thanks.
Bari's mouth opened and closed so many times she felt as if she were fish out of water. You know I long for a kiss? She repeated. Why would you— Her eyes grew as large as saucers before rolling into the back of her head. Bonnie, she muttered, throwing her hands in the air. The twinkle in Conan's bright blue eyes confirmed her deduction. Bari wagged a finger at him. I'll admit that I did want to kiss you at one time, but that feeling passed rather quickly the first time you intentionally snubbed me. Conan flushed at the accusation. I never snubbed you, he denied, shaking his head as if that made it true. Bari cocked a single brow. Really? You are denying that you have been intentionally ignoring me? Conan stopped moving his head. As Bonnie no doubt disclosed that entire conversation, you also know that I have never been kissed before. So it is less me wanting to kiss you, and more like me wanting to kiss someone who won't see the act as a commitment or a profession of undying love. And now that you know all this, I can't kiss you. It would only place me even deeper in your debt. Conan feared Bari might actually mean what she had just said.
I promise you that I would not take it that way.
But I would. Besides, it is no longer necessary. Megan has introduced me to several of Seamus's friends, and so I am certain my ignorance in that area will not last for much longer. Conan had the sudden urge to find Seamus and punch him in the jaw. It had never occurred to him before, but Connor allowed an inordinate amount of single men around the castle. No wonder Seamus was constantly fussing about Megan and all the men around her. Conan wanted to go to each and every McTierney clansman and warn him that Bari was his alone, that no one was ever to learn what it would be like to touch her soft, warm lips but him. But Conan knew if he did anything like that, even hinted to anyone that those were his feelings, he would be opening Pandora's box, just like the Greek myth from Hesiod's Works and Days, which was on one of the shelves in this very room. Also there was Laurel's reaction to think about. There was no telling what his sister-in-law would do if he showed signs of possessiveness toward Bari. Laurel might do everything in her power to foster a connection, making him the sixth McTierney brother subject to her matchmaking schemes. Or, more likely, she would make good on her promise and do everything she could to interfere, ensuring Bari was swept off her feet by someone else. Unaware of the warring thoughts Conan was having, Bari wandered closer to where he sat on a stool. Nearby was a chair that looked as if it had been stolen from the great hall. She pointed to it. That is the most surprising thing in this whole room. The great hall hearth chairs are very comfortable, and by having one here, you are practically inviting guests to come in and sit and stay for a good, long while. Conan returned her playful smile.
Which is why I discourage visitors. But, he gestured toward the chair with his thumb, is a result of my sister-in-law Eleanor, who stayed here at the castle before she married my brother Cole. She is impertinent and stubborn, but also gifted in languages I did not know. She helped me translate some maps, and insisted on having a comfortable place to sit while we worked. If I got rid of it now, Bonnie would think I didn't love her any more.
Conan was in the workplace portion of his study, sitting in the middle of an L-shaped table. Multiple papers were all over one half, and on the other he had one of his more favourite maps uncurled and blocked out. Next to it was the drawing Vari had been working on during their journey from the Priory.
"Using Bonnie as an excuse is..."
Her breath caught as she recognized her handiwork.
"What is that?"
Conan looked to where her eyes were locked and saw her partially completed landscape.
"That is your drawing," he answered, trying to sound matter-of-fact. "You knew I had it."
Actually, she had forgotten about it. "Because you wouldn't give it back to me," she countered.
Her eyes darted to his, and their pale green depths were no longer warm and soft, but cold and aloof.
"What are you doing with it?"
Conan was not really sure why Vari was suddenly so angry. In his mind, his keeping the drawing was actually the highest form of flattery. "I was trying to figure out how you did it, how you made things look so real. But so far all I've done is wasted a sheet of vellum trying."
He handed the picture back to her.
"You have a gift I have no hope of ever being able to replicate."
Vari snatched the paper from his hand.
"You told me that it was wrong, that this was of no value, but I was wasting my time, but I had no appreciation of what I could do, and yet you want to replicate it."
Vari turned and walked to the door. She needed to leave. All the memories from that night were crashing back on her. She had felt so angry, so guilty, so lost. For a fleeting moment, she had even considered giving him some of her precious hemp paper.
Bari's hand was on the door when she remembered.
Hemp paper. Mushed.
That was the reason she was here, to offer Conan some for helping her with the shelves. Slowly she opened the door and then turned around.
Conan was staring at her, clearly searching for something to say, but fearing it might make things worse. "In exchange for the shelves," she said stonily, "I will teach you how to draw like I do."
Vari turned around to exit. Just before she closed the door, she said,
"Lessons begin tomorrow, after the noon meal on the hill near the large tree."
"I told you that you should have given the drawing back to Vari," Bonnie chided as she emerged from her hiding place.
Conan was at the window staring down into the bailey.
"Not now, Bonnie."
"Girls don't like it when you take their things without their permission."
Conan watched as Vari entered the courtyard and marched toward the warden's tower.
"I said not now, Bonnie."
His words were a lot more clipped, and he hoped his niece would take the hint.
"Well, she can't have been all that mad at you. She did offer to teach you how to draw," he heard another voice say.
Conan turned around and narrowed his gaze on Bonnie, who just shrugged. He had suspected Bonnie was nearby hiding, for she had been visiting him when he heard someone come up the stairs. They had both thought it had been Seamus, and he had sent Bonnie into the secret passageway for her to exit the room and the tower. He was not surprised to learn that she had lingered once she had heard Vari's voice. Brenna, however, was a complete surprise. Bonnie walked over to his desk and pulled out the vellum that he had used to try to recreate Vari's landscape.
"I don't think drawing is something you learn how to do by looking at it."
Brenna clasped her hands behind her back and swayed up on her toes and then back down.
"That's why Vari is going to give him lessons," she said with a smile. "Can we come with you?"
Conan took in a deep breath and strode to his door. He swung it open and pointed to the outside corridor that led to the stairwell.
"Out!"
Bonnie grabbed her sister's arm and pulled her toward the exit. Just as they went through, she said,
"When you go tomorrow, remember you're the one who doesn't know anything about drawing."
"What's that supposed to mean?" he barked.
Bonnie looked up and stared him directly in the eye.
"It's just that you like telling people what to do, even when you don't know what you are talking about."
Then she turned and left to find her sister, who had gone down without her, leaving Conan's mouth agape. Bonnie didn't have to go far.
A couple of flights down, Brenna sat on one of the narrow winding steps waiting for her.
"Can you believe it?" Brenna giggled and shook with pure joy. "Things are working out perfectly. Just you wait, Bonnie. With a little bit of help, Vary and Conan will fall in love and get married. Then Uncle Conan won't leave, and Vary will stay here forever."
Bonnie stared down at her feet. She liked Vary. A lot. She was smart and funny. She was also honest and direct, everything Bonnie liked in a person. And she did think that Vary was good for her Uncle Conan, and that they could fall in love. However, she was not sure that Brenna was correct about any of the rest. While she wanted Uncle Conan to stay and never leave their home, she did not think it was going to happen. Since she could remember, he had been planning to leave and see the world. He wanted it more than anything, and Bonnie feared that if he did not get to leave, her uncle would end up very unhappy, and being in love was not going to change that. She did not know Vary as well, but from what she had learned, Vary also did not want to stay, even if she did like it here. The only way for Brenna's plan to truly work was if they somehow convinced Conan and Vary they needed to leave together. That, however, seemed way beyond the ability of a 10-year-old, even a smart one, to mastermind. At some point, they were going to need their mother.
Chapter 5.
The next day, Conan trudged up the hill toward the large tree where Vary sat. He had known exactly which one she had been referring to when she had told him where to meet her. There were several trees in the area, but one was an enormous oak that stood out amongst the rest. It had been huge when he was a lad, and his father had told him that it had been just as big when he was a small boy. Conan had no idea how old the tree was, but it had to be the oldest tree in the area, and everyone knew of it. If someone said, "Meet me by the tree," one knew exactly what and where they were talking about. Conan gritted his teeth. Vary's back was to him. She was sitting on a blanket drawing, completely unaware of his approach, and completely unaware that he was deeply conflicted about meeting her. He had been in a foul mood all morning. It had begun during the first meal, when Vary had barely acknowledged him. It had not been anger that greeted him, but indifference. It had been as if she had forgotten yesterday, and had reverted back to ignoring him. Then, an hour before they were to meet, his mood had gone from sour to irate, when Connor had requested his presence in the lower hall. He had barely taken a step in the room, when he saw the scrawny piece of red-headed filth that had held a sword on him just over a month ago. Upon seeing him, Conan had charged in, immediately demanding to know what the maggot was doing on McTierney lands, and why Connor had not yet removed his head. The answer had startled him to his core. Anger had flooded to every fibre of his being so fiercely that it had taken everything not to pummel the man to unconsciousness. Even now, if he closed his eyes, he could see every movement, hear every word.
"What did you say?"
Conan asked slowly, his icy tone enough to send shivers through not only the weakling, but his brother. The redhead narrowed his dark, beady eyes, and arrogantly leaned forward. "You McTiernies," he spat, and Conan could see the man's rotten teeth, despite his young age. "You got my sister pregnant this summer. My father demands you marry her, and pledge yourself and the McTierney armies to him and our family." Connor did not say a word, but it was not necessary. Conan knew that it never happened. Even if he had done what the Sui Bealtan claimed, his brother would never pledge even a dull blade to a man such as the one before him. "Your sister lies," Conan snarled. Fury filled the redhead's gaze, causing him to start to quiver and sputter. "Do you know who I am?" he finally got out. "My father is the Laird of—" Conan cut him off. "I don't care," he roared, slamming his fist on the table, making the thin man jump in fear. "Go home and tell your sister that she should not have named a man who would never allow himself to be a pawn." "Honor demands that—"
You know nothing about honor, or you wouldn't be trying to blackmail me into accepting your sister's bastard bairn. Hard to believe I'm her lover, as the first time I journeyed north of the River Charon was around the time I saw you running away from a fight like a bladeir.
And why should I believe a McTierney? The irksome man snorted, his deep-seated hatred showing.
Conan did not know this man, nor did he have even the remotest clue why the man hated McTierneys, but he was beyond caring.
Connor tapped his finger on the table, getting the attention of both Conan and the unwanted visitor.
"Perhaps you would trust the word of our priest, Father Lanelly."
His question sounded calm, but the man was a fool not to understand what that meant. He had no idea how close he was to meeting his death. For that last insult had been lobbed not just at Conan, but at Connor and every McTiernay clansman. Conan, however, was done. He slammed his fists down on the table and leaned over it, his heated glare enough to make the man hold his breath.
"Nay," he said, removing the option, "we don't need to bother the priest. This conversation is over, and the only reason you are leaving here alive is to deliver a message. Go tell your father, the Laird, that nothing in this world or in the heavens above could persuade, let alone force me into marriage with anyone, pregnant or not. My future does not include a wife, and your sister's future is one of her own making. She should have kept her legs closed."
Refusing to endure any more lies or insults, Conan had stomped out of the hall and gone directly to his rooms. There he had found Bonnie and chewed her out, making it clear that Brenna best not come near him either. Unable to sit or think, he had paced back and forth, waiting until Connor stopped by. Finally, after what felt like an interminable amount of time, his brother had arrived.
"Did you find out who he was?"
Connor shook his head.
"I did not want him to have the satisfaction of telling me. Plus, like you, I didn't care. I only told him that if he takes a step onto any McTierney lands, it will mean his painful death."
He glanced out the window.
"Finn's escorting him to our borders with instructions to muzzle him if he utters a single word.
That man is full of rage and is a fool. He'll be back.
And if he does, he will die. But I doubt he will return. His sister probably named you because you were the only unwed McTierney left still in the Highlands."
"I meant what I said. I don't care what anyone says or believes, I'll never take a wife."
"And I think of all the things that he heard, that is the one he believed. You are not a man who could be coerced into marriage. Hopefully he can convince his father."
Connor clapped him on the back.
"Gather your wits. Bonbon told me to remind you that you have a drawing lesson with Barry."
"Your daughter
is delightful, and for some reason adores you."
Connor laughed and paused just as he exited the room to growl,
"Don't cancel, or I'll tell Laurel."
It was lucky Connor had been across the room when he made the threat, or Conan might have decked him. But the warning had been enough to get him to leave the tower. Now that he was here, he began to care less and less what Laurel knew or thought. The oak loomed ahead. Conan took a deep breath and then let it escape slowly. But before he could decide whether or not he was too angry to be fit company, Bari turned and saw him. Her mouth broke out into a large smile as she waved him over. How he wanted to kiss that mouth! He knew with one touch she could make all that had happened today disappear, if only for a while. If only she wanted a kiss, too. He approached cautiously. Bari had not changed since lunch and was still wearing a forest green gown that highlighted and hugged every morsel of her perfect body. The woman was exceptionally pretty. So much so that even if he weren't in a bad mood, the outing was destined to be a waste of time. He was going to be incapable of learning anything. Each time he saw her, she only looked more desirable, and his thoughts grew more lascivious. Even now, a part of his mind was still wondering how Bari would taste if he were to kiss her.
"You are here,"
Conan said as he squatted down beside her, hoping to deflect any of his own misgivings onto her. He took a deep breath, closed his eyes, and savored her scent.
It both calmed him and excited him. Surprisingly, the dual effect was exactly what he needed to let go of the previous hour completely and just concentrate on her. Conan looked over her shoulder. Vari had obviously been there for a little while, for she had already sketched out the basics of the view, all the way down to the lock